this week on The Perfect Scam.
These contracts are not only predatory, they're illegal, they're not allowed. But I think that if there's nobody there to represent the veteran who has fallen prey to this, then it's a default judgment. There's no argument to be had if they don't show up or nobody's there to represent them. The whole situation was just terribly unfortunate.
Welcome back to The Perfect Scam. I'm your host, Bob Sullivan. When we left off last week, we were following the story of Michael Herring. He's an Iraq War veteran who's fallen on hard financial times back home in the U.S. During the war, he spent years driving around the outskirts of Baghdad looking for improvised explosive devices, IEDs, which left him with PTSD. He gets a small disability payment, but even with that and his salary, a divorce and expensive medical issues with his child pushes him to seek financial relief. He thought he'd found that from an organization named Voyager Financial, which paid him a lump sum in exchange for 5 years' worth of disability payments. But that only made his money problems worse. Where we pick up the story, Voyager has sued Michael, and he's planning to travel from his home in Colorado to South Carolina to defend himself, to tell the court the debt should have been discharged in bankruptcy. But as he works to find a local lawyer, he makes a shocking discovery that impacts him and a whole lot of other veterans working with Voyager.
I read the federal regulations that cover veterans' benefits and the assignment of veterans' benefits. The regulation says that any contract which assigns a benefit is void on inception, is the word. So it was, the whole thing was illegal. I mean, from the very beginning, none of the contracts were enforceable.
Michael's VA benefit couldn't have been assigned to Voyager Financial Group. The whole arrangement, the whole contract is unenforceable. And yet, here is Upstate Legal and Voyager Financial suing him, even after his bankruptcy. Armed with this information and a local lawyer, Michael finally gets some good news.
I reached out to this legal group, and I don't remember where they were from, whether it was the Carolinas or not, but they were doing pro bono work. And I explained to a gentleman there that, look, this is my situation. I've got this hearing date. I'm set to go pro se and represent myself. And he took all of my information. I don't know what he said. And within that case that Upstate Law Group had filed against me, they dismissed with prejudice.
His case is dismissed, but Michael also learns a dark truth about Voyager Financial and its owner, Candy Kern.
I wasn't the only veteran that was going through this with Upstate Law Group because of a VFG contract. This was becoming a real problem. I'm very, very, very fortunate. In speaking with other reporters, news agencies about this exact situation, I've become aware that more often than not, what happened in these cases was that Upstate Law Group was getting default judgments. They were getting default judgments against veterans who either didn't know they had a court date or just didn't know what to do to defend themselves from these predators. They were getting default judgments for absurd amounts of money. Like in my case, I received $21,000. There were other veterans who received $80,000, $100,000. And we're getting default judgments in the range of $250,000 because Upstate Law Group was adding on all sorts of damages and fees. And this is my understanding. And it's also my understanding that at least one veteran committed suicide because of a default judgment that had been entered against him in a case brought on by Upstate Law Group. So I'm very, very, very fortunate.
Soon after, legal troubles start to pile up for Voyager Financial. They are sued in 2017. An Arizona regulator issues a cease and desist order in 2018. In 2019, Kern agrees to stop selling these complex financial products, but disputes that they are illegal. In 2020, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau and the state of South Carolina sue Kern and Upstate Law Group. Then just last year, Kern pleaded guilty to federal conspiracy charges. She is still awaiting sentencing. But according to a Justice Department memo, she was able to sell these so-called structured cash flow entities for 9 years. And it's not just the veterans who took out these complicated loans who were hurt by the scam. Their disability payments were essentially sold to investors who were promised a steady stream of income.
A lot of the investors were veterans too. A lot of them were elderly investors. That was the situation with my contract. And the investor on the other end of my contract was an elderly gentleman who was also a veteran. And he's since passed.
And the pitch to them was, you can help out struggling veterans and maybe make a little money too, right?
It could have been. I was never on the other end of that pitch, but I can almost guarantee you, I mean, it would only make sense to say, oh, this is guaranteed by the federal government. This is a safe investment. And, you know, I mean, just really build it up because it's all, sure, it's all government benefits. And it just so happened that in my case, the investor was a veteran as well. Okay. It came to be my understanding that for my contract, the investor actually paid Voyager Financial Group well over $50,000, of which I received $21,000 or $22,000.
Those numbers are just unconscionable is the word.
The math doesn't add up.
But I do like to put things in these stark terms. There's somebody out there who thought it was a good idea to take benefits from a disabled veteran and charge them $50,000 for $21,000. Like, that's how outrageous this is.
Right. Oh, it absolutely. I agree with you there. It is outrageous.
And there's another element to the story that just feels so wrong. When veterans failed to make their payments, South Carolina debt courts would often enter what are known as default judgments against the veterans, allowing Upstate Law Group to seize their wages and other means to extract their pound of flesh from the victims, even though the entire arrangement was unenforceable. What do you think of that?
I was just about to remark on that because I have to question what's going on with the judge. I do not have a JD degree. I am not a lawyer, but I can go and look at the federal regulation and read it right there in plain English, void on inception. This cannot be done. It's plain. It's clear. These contracts are not only predatory, they're illegal. They're not allowed. But I think that if there's nobody there to represent the veteran who has fallen prey to this, then it's a default judgment. There's no argument to be had if they don't show up or nobody's there to represent them. I think the whole situation was just terribly unfortunate.
I mean, terribly unfortunate is a kind and gentle term, I have to say.
I try to be kind and gentle whenever possible.
I mean, good for you. What good does it do otherwise? But I mean, this is just makes my blood effing boil.
Curdle. Yeah. It's infuriating. It is. It's infuriating. It's an injustice. It's predatory against the very people who have served to protect our own nation and its interests on both sides.
In the end, federal authorities say Voyager and Upstate stole $31 million from investors. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau was able to seize some of the money stolen, about $6 million, and return it to some of the victims. Michael didn't get any of that, and he paid a price for dealing with these companies.
It was emotionally devastating. And I think that's the lightest way that I can put it. It was emotionally devastating because I knew that I had an obligation. And I think that's something that all veterans, the vast majority of veterans, are going to take very seriously, are their obligations. I have an obligation to this. Look, I got $20,000. I have an obligation to pay this back. Okay. So there's the emotional distress from that. There's the amount of sleep that I lost over knowing I don't know how I'm going to make this work. You know, I apparently put myself into a situation here where I'm no longer getting the income that I needed. Sure, for a short while, my short-term financial problems were solved, but at a very dire cost. So it was emotionally devastating, just this whole process. And then once that lawsuit had been filed, I'm very fortunate I was able to keep my wits. And I tried to be methodical about it. I tried to do everything right by the book. Bankruptcy is never, you know, a go-to. It's never necessarily anything that, it's not something that anybody wants to happen. But in my situation, between the contract with VFG and other debts that had arisen, I didn't have any choice because I had to live. I have a family and children to support, and this is just something I have to do. Not every other veteran involved was able to do that. You know, especially the men and women who had these default judgments put against them. It's unconscionable. It's terrible to relive, that was the situation.
And I'm sorry to put you through it again.
No, you're fine.
Yeah, no, I do appreciate this is hard to talk about, but it's important because a version of this kind of scam just comes up over and over and over again. So,
is that right?
Yeah, yeah.
I can't imagine anybody else trying to get away with this.
And yet, after all he's been through in Iraq and in Colorado, Michael is somehow grateful. People are going to want to know, how are you today?
Yeah. I am very fortunate. I'm doing well. I have a really good job. I live in a nice area. Both of my children have flown the coop. Like I said, my son is in the Army Reserve. He's living out of state. My daughter recently moved out. I've got a couple of dogs. Keep me on my toes. And
what are your dogs' names?
Oh, Rupee and Molly. Rupee, like think of the Indian money. Rupee.
Uh-huh. That's
Rupee
great.
And Molly. I was in a bad situation for a long time, and the fact I've been able to come out of it and find the inner peace that I've found, I consider myself very fortunate every single day.
Yeah, somebody who's seen all the things that you've seen and been through all these things can say that you feel lucky. That's pretty amazing.
Absolutely. I mean, I put things in perspective by telling myself this. All of my problems are first world. Look, don't get me wrong. I'm still paycheck to paycheck, like so many millions upon millions of other Americans. Okay. But all of my problems are first world. My kids are great. Like I've got a decent place to live. I've got a job that takes care of me. And I'm thankful and I'm fortunate.
Are you 55 plus? There are many ways your community could use your help. As an AmeriCorps Seniors Volunteer, you can put your skills to work for the causes you care about, whether that's by becoming a companion for an older adult, or a foster grandparent for a child, tutoring students, joining a disaster response effort, or fulfilling another interest. Choose how, where, and when you want to volunteer, starting at just a few hours a month. This is your moment to make a positive impact on your community and get back so much more in return. Visit AmeriCorps.gov/yourmoment today. Thankful. Fortunate. Just amazing. When you talk with someone like Michael, any vet, really, and listen to what they've done, a swelling sense of gratitude comes over you, which leads to all the more anger when you hear about a scam designed to target what should be 16 million treasured Americans. And make no mistake, vets are a target. Why? To find out, we brought in Carol Harris, himself a 30-year vet of the Marines. He now works with the Postal Inspection Service to fight against scams, and specifically, scams targeting vets. Let's just begin there. Why are veterans such a target?
Veterans are a target because, one, they give goodwill, they lean into difficult circumstances, and they want to do good for their community and for others. And when you do that, you expose yourself. And through their service, they earn benefits, valuable benefits, that criminals have learned is something to target. And because veterans are open and they want to help other veterans, and they break down some of their barriers when they're around those veterans, that creates a vulnerability that the unscrupulous and the lowest of low can take advantage of. And they can separate these hard-earned benefits that veterans rate away from the veterans and their families, and they can steal from them, or they can manipulate legal processes for nefarious purposes. That's what's happening. Our veterans deserve a lot. They deserve our adulation. They don't deserve to be targeted. They don't deserve to be manipulated. And that's what these criminals are doing. And it sticks in my craw.
I mean, when you say hard-earned, I mean, so I forced Michael, he didn't even really want to talk about it, the person we spoke with a moment ago, to describe his main duty in Iraq, which was driving around in a Humvee 11 hours a day looking for unexploded IEDs for 4 years. And, you know, for that, because of the PTSD that he suffers as a result of that, he receives $1,600 a month. I can't imagine a better bargain for American people than that kind of a trade. And yet somebody targets those benefits. It's just so upsetting.
It's upsetting on so many fronts. Because when our veterans return home, whether their ailment is visible and physical or mental, both are real to that veteran. And the veterans need help. They're vulnerable in some circumstances. Many of our veterans, they return home and they're better for having gone through that arduous experience. But some of us need a little help. And for those that need help, we need to protect them. Our society has, I believe, a duty to be aware of what's going on and to help protect our protectors when they return home from the battlefront. And I believe this podcast and the messaging you're doing and the story you're telling is a part of that. And I thank you and I thank AARP for pausing and taking a moment to tell these stories. Because if we can help just one, even just one, we're making a difference. But I think you're helping way more than one.
You know, I would like to go back to something you said a moment ago about, essentially, I think you were saying that veterans are trusting, especially of other veterans or people who seem to support veterans. Could you talk about that a little more? Because I do think that's a big part of the story.
Absolutely. What happens with veterans is they form a sense of camaraderie and community through their service. Some of the most powerful emotions and experiences you can have are tied to these high-risk environments that the veterans live and operate in, both stateside and OCONUS overseas. And those bonds are sacred in the veteran community. So when veterans meet other veterans that have had these similar experiences and been forged in the fire, so to speak, it immediately removes barriers and breaks down some of the things that people may naturally just have in society with other strangers. If I meet and I was in the Marines, so when I meet a Marine, I immediately have an affinity to that person. And because of that affinity, my guard goes down and I just feel a warmth to be around that person. And I actually, in general, I feel that way about all veterans. So with that, criminals have learned that if they can break into that veteran community, they can find people that are letting their guard down inside that sacred circle, that circle of trust that's been forged in fire and earned overseas and sometimes earned in blood. So they come in, they penetrate that circle, they pretend to be a veteran, or they are a veteran, sometimes it's turned for bad, and they get into that circle, and they get the people to break down their barriers. And then they can manipulate the veteran to separate the veteran from their benefits. They can steal their personally identifying information. They can get the veteran to do things that aren't to the veteran's advantage. And they can separate the veteran from, in some cases, vitally needed cash flows that are there to prop up the veteran.
Theft of those benefit checks? That can really, really hurt.
Many of them don't have cushions. They're young. They're just getting going in life in some cases. And in some cases, they're older and they've lived as long as me or even longer. But many of the cases, regardless of age, they just don't have a lot of cushion there. It really has a bad impact. And many times it's just exacerbating what was already a difficult situation because the veteran was struggling to heal physically, or the veteran is struggling to heal mentally and go through the post-traumatic growth experience that they need to go through so that they can get on with the best version of themselves. It really is troubling to see it happening. And that's why I'm so grateful for organizations like yours and our other federal law enforcement partners and other charity organizations that are getting out the word so that we can help protect the veterans and the veterans' families.
Okay, let's face it. While you have a bond, I'm sure, with all veterans, it's a little bit stronger when you meet a Marine, no?
I do love Marines. And, my wife was in the Marine Corps. That's how I met her. Some of my best friends are in the Marine Corps. I can't help but love Marines. The Marine Corps is a little bit extreme, and I enjoy that wild nature. There's a wild-eyed look in most Marines, and it's turned for good. And it just feels good to be a part of them and in that community. Last night, I enjoyed watching the Super Bowl here in Los Angeles, and I was at the American Legion with veterans from all walks of life and all ages. And some of them, one of the people I was speaking with, needed some help, and I was able to channel them to some good organizations like yours in our conversation on breaks while we were watching the Super Bowl. It just matters. But scammers do the same thing. They go into these same environments, and they look for those vulnerable veterans. And they work to take that affinity, pretend to be something they're not, pretend to be looking out for the interest of the veteran, and manipulate the veteran into doing something that's not in their own interest. It just bothers me.
So we've talked about why veterans are a target. Can you explain to people who might not realize this why veterans' benefits are such an attractive target to criminals?
Sure. So the veterans' benefits that are provided by the Veterans Benefits Administration, there's a lot of nuance there, and there's cash flows associated with it. If they have physical injuries or if they are going through post-traumatic stress, those cash flows and the counseling and the things that the veterans rate can be attractive to a criminal because they know that there's an annuity that exists. So that's why they're being targeted, because there are cash flows there that the scammers can get to. And because the veterans have that sense of community, and oftentimes when veterans leave the service, they miss that pride and belonging, that strong sense of camaraderie that can only be developed through those difficult, arduous circumstances. And that creates a vulnerability if the veteran doesn't find a way to do a healthy transition and to fill that void. Or sometimes I'll refer to it as a hole in your heart. Everybody's got a hole in their heart, and they're filling it with different things. It can be something positive or something negative. And sometimes the veterans are struggling, and they may not have come from an advantageous background. Many of our veterans, the people that are serving, come from difficult backgrounds in their youth. So they have that, as well as the challenges of having survived years of combat for some of them. And that creates a susceptibility. That's why they need good organizations like AARP or the American Legion, where I was enjoying watching the Super Bowl last night. They need these powerfully good social organizations, philanthropic organizations, that social fabric to fill that hole in their heart with a protective envelope. They need their battle buddies.
They need their battle buddies. We all need battle buddies, of course. But it's a concept that really helps veterans with that hole in their hearts, Carol told us.
And for those who haven't found that, they get approached by the scammers, and pretty much everybody's being targeted. The scammer catches them at the right time in the right place. They get them in a weak moment. They don't have a battle buddy to check. They don't make a bad financial decision. That's why we always talk about having a good battle buddy before you make any significant financial decisions. I like to use the letters PBC. Pause, breathe, connect. When these scammers approach, they're going to try to create some time pressure. They do it with lots of scams. They're going to try to crunch the veteran into quickly making significant financial decisions. And that's why I encourage everyone, veterans and beyond, they need to pause, need to take a breath, and they need to connect with a battle buddy, a trusted resource, someone outside of the scope of what the scammer is trying to get them to do. Pause, breathe, connect before you make any significant financial decision. And that is how you can up-armor yourself.
PBC. Pause, breathe, and connect. I like that a lot.
There you go. Pretty easy to remember that too, right?
Yeah, sure, sure. And so, Carol really believes everyone needs 3 to 5 battle buddies in their life. They can be hard to find, but resources are available.
There are many directions you could run for help. The big thing is to reach out, make contact with someone. You can choose who the battle buddy is, but you got to reach out and not fall for that time pressure crunch. If you don't just have somebody naturally in your circle that is, you know, that is a good buddy that you trust. I like to reference the 3 to 5. I believe everybody should have 3 to 5 people in their life that are their battle buddies, that are their trusted resources that they can wash over challenging circumstances. They can share openly and freely with that person in a place of safety to explore the art of the possible about, hey, what's the best choice when I go through this difficult crunch? So everybody should have a 3 to 5. And if they don't, they should find an organization to get it. I'm a firm believer in the American Legion as a place where you can get that, because it's oriented on social good and in serving veterans. And you don't have to be a veteran to go over and be associated with that, by the way. They have veteran as well as non-veteran membership opportunities where you can serve and protect and help other people and develop your own 3 to 5 so you have good battle buddies in life.
And if you know a veteran, you can be that battle buddy. You can step up and help a veteran who might be at risk.
We can do better as a society, just like we're doing here on this podcast. We can spread the word, let them know. We can watch out for our brothers and our sisters. We can be the battle buddy.
What should friends and family do if they know of a veteran and they're worried that person might be vulnerable or might be in the middle of a crime right now? How can they become a battle buddy? It's a little bit more nuanced than I would think a lot of people realize.
You know, it really depends on the personality of a veteran, but I would highly suggest that you find the right timing and the tact to make an approach and to let them know you care about them and that you're concerned for them and the reasons why, whatever scammer scheme or the reason you think they may be being manipulated. And to be honest and to lay it onto the table and to advance the conversation from there. Some people might be responsive to it. Sometimes when the conversation happens, the veterans don't believe that's the case. And it's not just veterans. It's just, it's Americans in general. Sometimes when you confront them in the most loving way you can to say, hey, I believe you're being scammed and you're being separated from your funds, you have to fight against that for a while because they just don't believe you that that's the case. And that requires consistent engagement because that person's been so manipulated that they're not, believing their son or their daughter or their best friend. And they're believing the scammer who calls them on the phone all the time or wherever or whatever the flavor of the interaction. Sometimes it's just emails on the internet, ironically, that can have a stronger bond or grip around that person's mind than their own son or daughter. So it's very tough. It's very nuanced. And it does require some energy and some engagement to break through, break that tie, and to protect this person from being further manipulated.
I like what you said there about, ongoing conversations, because so often the first one will fail. And as a person who's trying to help, you need to keep trying over time. It takes engagement over time, right?
Absolutely. It takes engagement over time. It takes tenacity on the battle buddy or the caregiver. It takes patience. You're going to get rejection in some cases from the person that you're reaching out to. And that rejection is it's the breakfast of champions. You just got to soak up that rejection and continue to come back with love in your heart and help that person through it.
That's going on my desk tomorrow. Rejection is the breakfast of champions. Soak it up.
You're welcome. You're welcome. And I tell you, and so there are a lot of champions out there who are taking that, they're eating that daily rejection, and they're doing it with a heart full of good intent, and they're going to warrior through it with their thick skin, and they're able to help people. And sometimes you break through and sometimes you don't. But either way, you're still a champion.
Another thing people should try to be aware of is victims of crimes often feel shame or embarrassment and don't like to admit this crime has happened to them. That might even be more true for veterans.
What we encourage people to do is to be brave and to not to let that shame overtake them, because they have been victimized, and it's okay to come out of that bad place and to go help others. And many of them do. And it takes some bravery to say, hey, I made a mistake. And because of that, I was victimized by the scam and I've lost tens of thousands of dollars and even hundreds of thousands of dollars in some cases. And it's really rough looking at the families when they've lost that and the assets are gone, because most of the time the assets are gone by the time it gets to us. Sometimes we can recover assets, and when we do that, we return it to victims. But many of the times the criminals have already spent the assets and they're gone and we can't recover them. So we encourage these victims to be brave and bold and stand up for themselves and to stand up for others and to tell the stories. Because every time you tell the story, you make it harder for the criminals to continue to do it to other people.
So what should veterans do to protect themselves? Or as Carol likes to say, up armor themselves?
Our veterans out there can protect themselves and protect their veteran buddies by going to USPIS.gov/veterans. And they can see the scams and schemes that are unfolding. And by raising their awareness around those scams and schemes, they are now going to be up armored and ready to protect the person to their left and their right. Forewarned is forearmed. By raising their awareness, they're protecting not only themselves, but they're protecting the people they love and care about in their community and in the veteran community. Raise awareness, be ready to speak with your 3 to 5. And if you do get approached, or if you know someone being approached, encourage them to pause, take a breath, and connect with a battle buddy.
And what if someone realizes right now, oh my gosh, I am in the middle of a crime right now. What should they do?
Break contact and report to appropriate agencies. Just stop. If you don't answer the phone calls, don't answer the emails, reach out. If it's something that's related to one of the scams and schemes that the inspection services works, you can report it to us at USPIS.gov. But there are many different types of scams and schemes that are out there. Reach out to law enforcement and report it and break contact. And if you think your identity is already compromised, make sure you reach out to the credit reporting agencies and start to mitigate any damage that might have been done. And talk to your battle buddy. They can help you work the problem, because they may see some gaps and fissures in your up armor. They may see opportunities for you to better protect yourself as you're navigating. Don't go it alone. No one has to go it alone. There are people that want to help you.
Nobody has to go it alone. Such an important message, particularly for those who have made such sacrifices for us. In addition to the resources that Carol mentioned, AARP also offers a website, a guidebook, and a host of other resources for veterans at aarp.org/vetsfraudcenter. Michael is still sacrificing. He doesn't really like talking about what happened to him, but he's willing to because he believes it could help others. What is it that you want someone listening to this to learn from your experience?
Since I can't be an example in this situation, allow me to be a warning. It's really, really important to do a little bit of research. And when things get really difficult, especially financially speaking, when things get really difficult, oftentimes there's always somebody holding something really bright and shiny, you know, and all you have to do is this, but you know, don't worry about that. Well, yeah, you know what? Worry about that, because your short-term financial situation is one thing. Short-term situations change. That's why they're called short-term. It's the long-term situations that you end up being in that can really, really have a profound impact on your entire life. Talk to people, do some research, do your homework.
You know, with a scam like this, though, it sounds reasonable enough. Well, we're going to, you know, this is your money, you're entitled to it. We're just going to give it to you up front and, you know, relieve you from this temporary burden you have. Like, that doesn't sound like a crazy idea to me.
No, it doesn't. And I think that's maybe why they were so successful in getting away with this for so long. I think what they didn't disclose was that they were pocketing a lot of money. As I said, look, I got low 20-something thousand dollars, but the investor for the contract I had ponied up, I think, over $50,000. And so whatever the rate of return that they disclosed to the investor, that was not consummate with what I was paying.
And what they didn't disclose was that this structured cash flow proposition, like many upfront payment plans, was a loan, a very, very expensive loan at that. Yeah, we've covered plenty. Well, I want to thank you for your service. I want to thank you for all you've done. And specifically, thank you for your time and for sharing this with me. I know it's going to help somebody out there. So it's really a valuable thing that you've done today.
I really hope it does. I hope that people just stay aware, remain vigilant, because there are people, there are companies out there who are just swindlers. Just swindlers. And they don't care if somebody's elderly, they don't care if somebody's a veteran, they don't care. They'll take whatever they can get. They'll take whatever they think they can get away with. So watch out for those people, because oftentimes they're the ones holding the something shiny that would.
Yeah, I really like how you said that when you're at your darkest moment, there's always going to be somebody who shows up with something shiny, and that can be persuasive when you're desperate, but think twice.
Yeah, definitely. Think twice, talk to people. Talk to people. Even if they're not experts, you know, get another set of eyes to look at it before you go entering into some sort of an agreement that might be too good to be true.
For The Perfect Scam, I'm Bob Sullivan. If you have been targeted by a scam or fraud, you are not alone. Call the AARP Fraud Watch Network helpline at 877-908-3360. Their trained fraud specialists can provide you with free support and guidance on what to do next. Our email address at The Perfect Scam is theperfectscampodcast@aarp.org, and we want to hear from you. If you've been the victim of a scam, or you know someone who has, and you'd like us to tell their story, write to us. That address again is theperfectscampodcast@aarp.org. Thank you to our team of Scambusters, associate producer Annalie Embry, researcher Becky Dodson, executive producer Julie Getz, and our audio engineer and sound designer Julio Gonzalez. Be sure to find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. For AARP's The Perfect Scam, I'm Bob Sullivan.